Thanks, Andrew. The reading this morning is from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The church. The Lord opens the doors of the church, and this week we are looking at opening the door to earth. So if we look at our picture, last week, two weeks ago, the door to heaven up the top, down the middle, opening the door to the heart, and down the bottom. Now we have the door to earth being opened, the door to the world, the door to the cosmos, the universe, and our place in it. Let me pray as we begin. Lord, the earth is yours and everything in it. Give us your eyes to see what is yours, what you've created, what you love, what is broken, and what needs your redemption. Amen. We have a picture here, and this little picture is a disc. Hopefully that picture can come up. There's a little disc. It's about the size of a 50-cent piece. And does anyone want to have a guess where right now this little disc is? The moon. Yes, exactly. Right now, that little disc is on the moon. It has a little inscription, you won't be able to see it. It says, goodwill messages from around the world brought to the moon by the astronauts of Apollo 11. You can see the statement there, from planet Earth, July 1969. That was probably a good hint. The disc itself was manufactured by Sprague Electric Company of North Adams, Massachusetts. NASA Administrator Thomas O'Pain corresponded with 73 nations to gather their messages of goodwill, which were then photographed and then reduced down in size 200 times. So those little smudges you can see are little photographs reduced down 200 times. Each message is about the size of a pinhead. And right now, the disc currently rests in an aluminium case on the moon's Sea of Tranquility. Isn't that nice? The moon has a Sea of Tranquility. Of course, unless you believe the conspiracy theories, in which case, that disc is in a Hollywood studio somewhere. But the Vatican is one of those 73 countries who sent a message to the moon, and Pope Paul VI sent to the moon none other than Psalm 8. One of those tiny little smudges, pinhead size, is Psalm 8. That makes Psalm 8 the first and only psalm to be plonked on the moon. And what a fitting message to put there. Now, I don't always give high fives to the Pope, but I think that's worth a high five for the Pope, don't you? Such a powerful piece. It's poetry. What a powerful thing to plant on the moon. It's such an amazing perspective. It's a refreshing perspective, really, when you think about all of the excitement and the victory of claiming the moon. So much, you know, intense, focused energy went into the race to the moon. It was all the electronics and robotics and the science and the funding and the training, astrophysics, the politics. It's like the blinkers of humanity went on to try and get this thing done. And then there's Psalm 8, taking the blinkers off, giving us perspective. Ah, God Who are we that you're mindful of us? Who are we that we've been given such an honor in the universe that we can go to the moon? How have we been given such a capable and privileged position? And Psalm 8 is actually a bit of a clash of feelings. There's two kind of feelings in tension going on at the same time. One of those feelings is feeling really small. And the other feeling is feeling really big. Psalm 8 feels really big and really small at the same time. It's feeling really big because of that position that we've been given. No other creature on earth is capable of doing what we can do. You know, it's just an observational fact, whether you're an atheist or a Christian or whatever your worldview is, functionally, we are the kings and the queens of the universe. Functionally. We can go to the moon. And now, if you have a smartphone on you right now, your smartphone has more processing power than that Apollo mission combined. Right? In your pocket. The stuff that we can do. We are kings and queens of the universe. So the mix of those feelings, it's incredible and powerful and necessary to have both of those feelings. If you lose one of those feelings, if you lose the perspective of feeling big, or if you lose the perspective of feeling small, then things go terribly wrong. But let's have a close look at this psalm, if we'd like to put it up there. You might not be able to read that. I've put it up there so you can see the structure and the poetry to this amazing psalm. Firstly, there is a frame. So the first line there, Lord our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You go down to the very bottom, it's exactly the same line. Lord our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's not a mistake. That's not laziness. It's deliberate. It's so good it's worth saying twice, is what it means. And it functions then as a frame. It frames the whole thing. Everything we have in the middle needs to be within the perspective of Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's all about God. No matter what we see, it's all about God. That frame is important. We might think repetition is boring. Our Western 21st century minds are kind of, we're wired for novelty and new and different and exciting. And if we're like, oh, I've seen that funny cat video already, I need a new one. We're wired for the new thing. But actually, in Hebrew poetry and actually in the Old Testament scriptures, repetition means importance. So when we read it and we think, oh, that's boring, no. Think that is even more important. So good it is saying it twice. And then the frame, if we leave it up there, between the frame, the rest of the psalm is actually in two equal halves. And so the first half says to God, I look at you and everything you made and I feel small. The first half is the I feel small feeling. Lord, you have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Erin and I, my wife Erin and I, before we were dating, we went on a trip with a bunch of friends, and it was an amazing trip, really. We went camping in the Crowajingalong National Park, and then we went up to Canberra. That's out the eastern tip of Victoria, and then we went up to Canberra, and there was a Christian conference there, and the whole trip was just this overwhelming of God's natural beauty that he's created. Stunning wow moments of what God has created. And anyway, one night, I'd just been kind of floored by what I'd been hearing at the conference and how beautiful God is. Here's all this creation, it's beautiful, but how beautiful God himself is, who created it. So not being wowed by the stuff, but wowed by the wower, the one who made it, who causes the wow. Anyway, one night, myself and Aaron and our friend Josh were out late one night and we're lying down in the grass. So it's outside Canberra, clear skies. We're lying down in the grass just looking up and the stars were just stunning. Like, I'm sure you've had that moment of just looking up and being floored by just how good it is to just look up at the heavens. And then I must have trailed off and got lost in my thoughts about the day and thinking about God and reflecting on God. And then all of a sudden, Aaron and our friend Josh just go, "Whoa, what was that?" And I'm like, "What?" And they said there was this huge shooting star that just ripped across the sky. And of course, I missed it. But the thing is, I didn't actually mind too much because I was lost in my reflection on God, the wower, and how good God is. But, you know, this sense of being so small, we are but a breath. So that's the first half of the psalm. The second half of the psalm is the feeling of being big. So we're left with that question halfway through: who are we? What are we as human beings? Lord, you have made them just a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. We're crowned as kings and queens. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. He's put us in a place to rule wisely over all of that. And here is where we start thinking about opening the doors of the church and opening Earth's door. If you ever think spirituality is all about just what happens in your head and your heart, and then whatever happens in the physical world's unrelated, or if you think religion is the sacred, you know, private life, and then public life is secular, and it's a completely other thing, if you think Sunday morning church is one life that you live and then you wake up on Monday and that's a different life that you live, then, friends, come back to Psalm 8. Come back to Psalm 8. Human beings are made as rulers over the works of God's hands. Everything we do is meant to be sacred, a sacred task. If you are human, then you have been appointed, actually anointed. That's royalty language. Not just appointed, anointed as a ruler, a wise ruler over the sphere of influence that you have. There is a place and a time in which all of us live, and we have decisions to make about what we do on this earth. All of us have been given 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can choose how we spend those hours. Some of us will have different obligations. Some of us will have more free time. Some of us will live longer than others, but we all have some time. Every single one of us contributes something. We might have different abilities and gifts and talents. Some of us will work in the home and some will go to the workplace. Now, what a novelty at the moment to go to a workplace if you get to go and do that. Some of us are students and you are being formed and shaped for what you will go on to contribute later. But even now, you are having an influence where you are learning amongst your peers, amongst others. For some of us, our working years are behind us in retirement, but that doesn't mean we stop having an influence. And of course, right now, some of us love our work, some of us hate our work, some of us wish we could work more, some of us wish we could work less, and perhaps for some of us, it's really hard to think about opening the door to Earth because we feel like the Earth is closing the door on us if we're not able to work in the way that we feel called to work. But we all have some sort of influence. You are playing some sort of part within the created order of the universe. And even the difference between a frown and a smile Everyone can make the difference between a frown and a smile. That changes the earth. It has an impact. So every human being, it says there, mankind, humankind, human beings, men and women, everyone, every human being, we call it the sanctity of life. Every human life is sacred. You are set apart with an honored place to rule and to rule well over God's creation. And here's where things go wrong, and why we so desperately need that balance of both feeling big and feeling small at the same time. There's danger in going both ways. If you feel too big, you know, look at me, I'm superior. I've got all the answers, and you look down on other human beings. We look down overly on creation. We start playing God, put ourselves up too high. Then there are problems. If we forget our place in the created order and we trash the earth, if we poison the ground from which we are made and from which we eat, as though we're aloof and beyond it, then our very health suffers. A sad case in point for Australian history is that our first peoples, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, were regularly treated as animals. They were never legally classed less than human. There's a bit of a myth that they were legally under the Flora and Fauna Act, that they never were, but they were regularly treated as animals. How long did it take for them to be given a vote? How long did it take for women to be given a vote in this country? And friends, what is still outstanding, what is still yet to be done in our nation that would recognize all humans as humans? Now, I'm new here. Please don't hear what I've just said then as a greeny, leftist, Marxist, kind of whatever label you want to put on that particular agenda. I hope you can see biblical principles here. The biblical principle is human life is human life. We are made to be good stewards of fauna and flora. Now, even that statement might sound the other way. It might sound a bit right-wing, that we are stewards over fauna and flora. So anyway, I'm just trying to make it hard for you to put me in a box. You can try. But all of this stuff actually leads to really important conversations about religion and politics. Now, you know the phrase, right? Best way to ruin a dinner party is to talk about religion and politics, right? The thing is, we probably need to be talking more, but perhaps in a different way. Perhaps the problem is the manner in which religion, politics, and these things are talked about. You know, I love that, God gave me two ears and one mouth for a reason. That's a good ratio, right, of how much we should be listening to speaking. I'll give you a challenge for a week, for this week. See if you can drop that phrase into a conversation somewhere. See if you can drop the phrase, God gave me two ears and one mouth, so we should be listening twice as much as we should be speaking. See if you can do that. It's just like a social experiment, right? Because you're using the word God, just see what happens. There's a challenge for you. Let me know. Let me know. But when we're looking about, opening the doors of the church and opening the door to earth, it leads to robust conversations, but we need really good listening skills. So there's a feeling of being too big, but there's also the feeling of being too small. We can forget that God is mindful of you. He does care for you. He has given you a position. We can forget that. We can choose not to take our responsibility in the world. And look, sometimes we have every reason to feel like we should withdraw from the world and to give up on making a difference. I want to read from Jeremiah 29. And the background to Jeremiah 29 is the Jewish people had been smashed by an invading army. Their homes had been destroyed. Their worship and their livelihood was obliterated. And they'd been then taken off into a foreign land. You might remember the song, or at least the psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept." It was devastating. Had every reason to hide, to disappear, to feel small. They had restrictions. But what is God's word to them? Jeremiah 29. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile." The pagan, ungodly, sinful, unclean Babylonians, like the foreign people, what should we do with them? Seek the peace and prosperity of their city. Bless them. Bless them. Isn't that amazing? Bless them. And then, if you keep reading on, we get to, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Their job, though, not to feel too small, but to bless the city that they are in. Now, when we look at heaven's door being opened up the top, and our heart's door being opened in the middle, and then opening the door to earth, we work our way down. And when we do that, what do? We actually fulfill the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's as simple as that. Simple and as complicated as that. Because how does Jesus define a neighbor? He tells a parable about the Good Samaritan. It's like the enemy is the good guy as the neighbor and helps out. And then Jesus summarizes it elsewhere. Love your enemies. The great calling that we have is to love our enemies. And Jesus not only said it, he did it. While we were still enemies, enemies of God, when we turned our backs, he loved us so much that he would die for us. And it's not just a wonderful model and an example, but it is a powerful, living word in us when we are united in Christ, when we die with him. So friends, our job as disciples of Jesus is to be working for justice, sweating for Jesus. That's our job, sweat for Jesus. Bring peace. Bring the prosperity of the city in which we live. Shape the culture with the fragrance of Christ. We're called to help the whole earth to flourish as we look forward to the day when heaven and earth are fully reunited. To finish, I'd actually like to ask you all to stand, and I want to bless you. So please stand, whether you are a paid worker, an unpaid worker, whether you work in the home, whether you wish you had more work or you wish you had less work, whatever your circumstances. Let me ask God to pour out his blessing on all of us. God, our Father, you created all things. And you love the whole world so much that you sent your son Jesus. And where you are taking all things is that heaven and earth will be fully united. Heaven on earth will open up. And we get to participate in that work even now. Help us to bring a little slice of that heaven to earth. Help us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Whether we work in the home, whether we work in a workplace, whether we travel, whether we have finished our paid working years and now we have an influence with other people. Help us to bring love into all of the relationships that we have. Bless us with a powerful love, not just for friends, but for enemies. Show us that way, that beautiful way that turns all things round, turns the world on its head. Bless everyone in their vocation, their calling, the unique path that you have given to each of us. Would you help us to see how our work is for your kingdom? Help us to love you. Help us to have eyes for you as our boss, no matter how, whatever boss we have. Some of us have great bosses, some of us not so much. Help us to have eyes for you, that we work for you. And so we will do a good job, no matter the task. In Jesus' name, amen.